Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Wednesday, July 8th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast, Next Stop, Insolvency. We've been discussing this here many times before, especially in direct relation to all of the money printing and government spending that we are in the midst of, where we made the argument that the Federal Reserve and other central banks, they can deal with a liquidity crisis because they can just turn the printing presses on and they can just throw as much out into the system as they want to via various mechanisms, various ways of doing it. All of these emergency facilities that they have, their traditional, quote-unquote traditional methods, purchasing government bonds, government notes, mortgage-backed securities, which is what the Federal Reserve has been doing since the great financial crisis. That was on the residential side of the market, on those mortgage-backed securities. Now they're getting into commercial mortgage-backed securities as well. And that's going to be the crux of our discussion here today. Because we have been saying here for well over a year that we will be in the midst of another real estate problem. Perhaps crisis, perhaps collapse, whatever word you want to use. And I said, this time it is going to be a top-down, bottom-up collapse, top-down, bottom-up squeeze. Meaning commercial real estate is going to be affected heavily this time around. That luxury apartments, homes, condos are definitely going to be subject to this crisis. And then, as a result of all of this, people losing jobs, people who are still subprime, once they lose their jobs, they lose their income, can't afford to make their mortgage. And down that goes too. So that's the top down, bottom up. And then it starts to make its way through the various tranches of the income brackets and housing prices. But the other interesting thing here, with all of these distortionary effects, government policies, Federal Reserve, central bank money printing, picking winners and losers, and then with the other backdrop of COVID-19, the social distancing, people being afraid to be close to one another, does it make sense to live in big cities anymore? So are people going to leave the big cities and say, I'm out. I don't want to live on top of everybody else anymore. I don't like it. It's not safe. It's not healthy. So I'm going to go to the suburbs. Well, what's that going to do? Well, it's going to depress the prices in those larger cities. And right now, the price of real estate in large cities is extremely expensive, as will be the financing costs for all of those apartments, all of those condos, and all of those high-rise buildings. So if you have your flock of tenants that leave, how are all of those real estate developers going to fare? How well are they going to be able to do? How are they going to be able to pay that banknote? And I think the market is starting to sniff this out. The bond market has been sniffing this out. That's why there continues to be the dichotomy between stock prices and the bond market, which is no surprise. And really, as this audience well understands, it's really only a handful of stocks that have been leading these markets higher. Because when you look deeper into the internals of the market, and when you look at the financial sector, the banking sector, it's not looking too good, folks. And that's a function of low interest rates, which we've discussed here many, many times, basically on a daily basis, saying that it is not going to work. It is not the panacea. There is history for this. Japan has tried it. Not good. Europe has tried it and continues to try it, as is Japan. Not looking good and not working good, working well for the Europeans either. So why do we think that we have the silver bullet here in the United States? Because we don't. We don't, and it's not looking good. Because the markets know that people, corporations, developers are not going to be able to make these payments, especially if that transpires and people leave the cities, go to the suburbs. It's not going to be good for them. And in a weird twist, it's going to increase because if you have that huge influx of demand for properties outside of major cities in those suburbs, well, what's going to happen to the prices of those homes in the suburbs? They're going to skyrocket. They're going to go up because there's so many people looking for them. But are they going to be able to afford those homes at those prices? In conjunction with a financial sector that is starting to tighten their lending standards. Oh no, you have to have a job. You got to be making this much money. It probably has to be in an industry that is pretty secure. Not in retail, not in hospitality. See where I'm getting here, folks? Next stop, insolvency. The Federal Reserve, other central banks, they can print money to help push off a liquidity crisis. But they cannot stop an insolvency crisis because if you have no customer, you have no sale. You have no sale, you have no cash. You have no cash, you can't pay your bills. Sayonara, see you later. That's why the next wave of things that we are going to be witnessing are bankruptcies. So you're not going to get a V-shaped recovery when the next leg down, when the next wave of events are massive amounts of bankruptcy and insolvency and perhaps liquidations. Brooks Brothers, major retailer in the United States, I think one of the oldest, if not the oldest, filed for bankruptcy. According to Forbes, I believe it was about 8,700 retail stores will be closing this year. And that's just as of now. That's what has been announced as of now. Well on track to surpass last year's numbers, and last year's numbers when it came to retail was horrific. Horrific. This year is likely going to be even worse. 8,700 stores of common household names. You got Lowe's, some Home Depot stores going out, not because they're filing for bankruptcy, but because the stores that they are decided or they're closing are just not profitable. But you have Sears and JCPenney and Kmart and Macy's and Nordstrom and Neiman Marcus and Gap, Bed Bath & Beyond. All of these stores, many, many others, unfortunately, closing their doors not to be opened again. Well, how is that going to fare for commercial real estate? It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty at all. And where do you go? How do you revive it? If people are now becoming conditioned to purchase more of their goods from online and are becoming more comfortable doing so, is there going to be any type of real pent-up demand or any type of rush to get back into the malls? To get back into those stores? Well, the answer is no. Plus, those stores, a lot of them aren't even going to be there. I mean, there are many pockets around this country where it's quite sad if you take a drive. Because you have these once flourishing cities, now they look like ghost towns. And they're not coming back anytime soon, if at all. This is setting up to become the greatest depression. You get bad data, people are going to make poor decisions. Garbage in, garbage out. I don't care how well-intended these politicians claim that they are. I don't care how well-intended these central bankers claim that they are. When you do this, it causes so many distortionary effects. Upstream, downstream, back upstream, back downstream. People can't make heads or tails of what's going on. Entrepreneurs can't make proper decisions because they say, oh, well, look, everything's fine. I can borrow money cheap. Some prices are going up over here. I can make a profit. Let's go. And then boom, it all snaps. It all unravels because it's unsustainable. It's unsustainable. Same thing on the consumer side. Oh, I can borrow money for cheap. I can buy it. I'll be able to pay it off. Something goes, boom. Lost my job, even though it was low borrowing. Now I can't afford it. What am I supposed to do? Garbage in, garbage out. All to keep this Ponzi scheme of a system up and running. Because that's what we've adopted. That's what we call normal. There's nothing normal about it. There's nothing sane about it. It's insane. This is a banana republic that we are operating here. Trillions of dollars that we do not have. Yeah, but doesn't matter. We're just going to print it, and that's going to be the panacea. It's going to solve a global pandemic. It's going to solve the recessionary forces that were at play well before COVID-19, which seems like an eternity ago when we were talking about those things, saying that this was not setting up to be a good year. And then, of course, everything happened. COVID-19 and everything else. So it's just adding gasoline to the fire. Permanent jobs we discussed last week for the jobs report. An additional 588,000. 588,000 jobs have been permanently lost just for the month of June, given the June jobs report, taking the total to 2.9 million. Permanent jobs. So where are those jobs likely to be? In the service sector, restaurants, hotels, bars, retail, travel industry. And of course, there was big news today from United Airlines. They're putting out a warning to their employees saying that if things don't turn around by October, 36,000 jobs may be lost. This is United Airlines, a company that has received loans and grants from the federal government. If things don't turn around by October, we may slash 36,000 jobs. Here in the United States, which I think is about half of their U.S. workforce. This is significant. And then how else is everything else going to play out when it comes to the airlines or any other type of travel for that matter? Are they going to exclude the middle aisle? So what's going to happen to prices? Are prices going to go up because, well, they have to make up for the lost revenue? I mean, those planes ain't cheap. Jet fuel isn't cheap. Got to pay the pilots. Got to pay the flight attendants. Got to pay the grounds crew. It's expensive to operate an airline. So they're going to get all this money from us, the taxpayer. And they're still potentially going to lay off half their workforce. Maybe more. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But October will be here before we know it. And if this wave, and which I'm still going to consider this the first wave of cases, continues to rise across this country, well, then I just don't see how United Airlines is going to get back to normal by October. Because things are already getting pushed out and delayed, reclosing, what have you, depending on the state, depending on the circumstance. We're supposed to believe in simply a couple months' time, everything's going to be back to normal. And all of these jobs with these airliners are just going to remain in place? I hope they do, but I'm doubtful. I'm skeptical with what's going on, with the power grabs that are taking place with all of these states, with all of these governors, with all of these mayors. Some of it might be justified. Some of it is not. But it matters not at the end of the day because the next stop is insolvency. How many small businesses have permanently closed their doors? Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands? We talked yesterday about the PPP loans. How much fraud's going to exist there? how much of those loans are simply delaying the inevitable of many of those companies, unfortunately, no matter their size, will eventually file for bankruptcy or downsize. Because once they've made good and held people on their payroll, said, oh, okay, now the loans can be forgiven. Well, we don't need you because the demand has not picked back up. So see you later. Get back on unemployment. But we're good. We complied with the letter of the law. We brought you back on payroll. We paid you. The demand hasn't picked up, or we've become more efficient, combination of both. We don't need 100 employees anymore. We'll make good with 85. So sorry, guys, but see you later. And then you add that up over the aggregate. And what's that number going to be? I told you this was going to happen months ago when they passed the Nobody Cares Act. All of this is distortionary. You're not going to be able to make heads or tails of this stuff. These jobs reports, the con jobs reports, that's what they are. They're made up. Bureau of Labor Statistics has been telling us over the past 3 months, we have a miscalculation error. We know what unemployment would really be if we calculated it properly, but we're not going to do that. So we're just going to put these notes at the bottom of the report and tell you unemployment would be higher than what we actually told you it was, but we're not going to make that correction. We're just going to tell you here. And we're doing that for the purpose of data integrity, and we don't want to look political. Give me a break. That's exactly what it is. It's political. So Thunder Thumbs can come out and say, well, we created 4.8 million jobs last month. No, didn't happen. Didn't happen. It's not how it worked. They weren't new jobs. They simply came back because economies were opening up. And then when you take the other aggregate side of things, which we did, I don't want to rehash all this, not even close. Not even close. 31.5 million Americans, an increase from the prior week of 900,000, claiming unemployment insurance, which against the work population would be closer to 18% unemployment, not the 11 or 12 that they're telling us that it is. And when you take into consideration the miscalculation, quote-unquote, error that BLS admits to over the past few months, that's where we would be. 18-20%. And when you look at U6, the broadest measure of unemployment, that's where we are, 18%. So don't give me this 4.8 million jobs were created over the best month ever, I don't want to hear it. I want this economy, I want this country to succeed, I want it to do well. But lying to the American people, simply regurgitating headlines, making people believe that everything's great when it isn't, is not going to solve the problem. We need structural change here, not tweaks. Structural change. I hope you understand this by now. What about college towns? Because, you know, you're getting in the news here. Okay, well, we're going to open up. We're not going to open up. We're going to close down for the fall semester, and then we'll reassess and see if things are going to go well for the spring semester and go from there. Well, how many people make their living? How many businesses make their living because they're around colleges and universities? How many bars? How many restaurants? Little things. Bowling alleys, movie theaters, mechanics. All these little shops, grocery stores, everything, right? 8-9 months out of the year, that's their cash cow. All of these kids and all these professors working and everybody else who works the grounds there make their living and they go shopping. They go enjoy some nightlife or whatever the case may be. Well, if they're not there, how are these businesses going to sustain themselves? Are they going to be able to? What about people who make maybe a secondary income? Because they say, well, you know what? Look, colleges, kids are always going to come to college. So let me go buy a few properties around the college, around the university. Fix them up a little bit, and then I'll rent them out. I'm going to have a tenant in there for at least 8-9 months, and probably with roommates. So I can charge a hefty price because they're going to be able to break it down amongst 3 or 4 people. Split across 3 or 4 people, it's not that much. But to me, it covers my mortgage payments, and I can make a profit. Well, what happens if they're not there? you still have the mortgage. The mortgage doesn't go away because the tenant went away. You still have that paper. How are you going to be able to pay it? These are the things that I do not think the market has taken into consideration yet, at least not the stock market. And maybe the stock market's never going to care in aggregate. Maybe it will be the banking indexes and some other areas. But Apple, they don't give a shit. Oh, excuse me. I'm always good here, but that just slipped out. My apologies. They don't care. Microsoft doesn't care. Google doesn't care, etc., etc. But the banking sector does. Maybe the small caps do. The bond market's paying attention. A lot of shenanigans going on with the currency markets. I know I don't talk too much about that, but the volatility is just crazy. So be prepared, is all I'm saying, for the next wave to be insolvencies. We've been discussing it here for months, but now, you know, they've delayed, they've kicked the can down the road, they've implemented this program, this emergency facility, that emergency facility. When's it going to end? When are people going to wake up? When are the markets going to wake up and say, this is just unsustainable, we cannot continue to do this? The day of reckoning will come, it always does. People thought everything was fine in 2007. People thought everything was fine in 1999, 2000. People thought everything was fine in 1928, 1929. There's always justification. Oh, well, this time's different. It's technology. Oh, it's the internet, man. It's the internet. Don't you get it? It's always going to be here. You just go online and you make money. And then, boom, the NASDAQ loses 80% in the dot-com era. Dot-com bust. Roaring 20s. The Dow lost 90%. So don't think that it cannot happen again. We lost 50% on the S&P during the great financial crisis. So don't think that it cannot happen again. Don't think that printing money is a panacea, because it is not. It is not. And the inflation, and the stagflation, and the potential hyperinflation that is going to come after this is going to be nothing short of devastating. Nothing short of devastating. Inflation is a tax. It's a tax. Because it's robbing you of your purchasing power. It's increasing your cost of living. It's reducing your standard of living. And it's a tax that you don't vote for. At least when the government taxes you, it's because there has been some sort of production. You've created something. You created a car. You built a house. You put together, you sewn together a pair of shoes. You offered somebody a service. So the government can at least tax something, but at least you produced something. You increased the value to somebody. You offered them something. Printing money, there is no production. It's a complete fantasy world, which makes it that much more devastating. That's why you don't want to go to Zimbabwe. That's why you don't want to go to Venezuela. Because it's nothing but funny money. And that's what we're doing here. And we think maybe we can get away with it because, well, we're the largest country in the world. We have the world's reserve currency. And we think we can just push everything else on to everybody else. Well, everybody else is going to catch wind of this. Everybody else is going to say, I don't like this anymore. That's what's likely going to happen. That's part and parcel why we have global protests, global riots that were taking place prior to COVID-19. They're taking place now, and they are going to continue to take place. And I don't know how bad it's going to get between now and November with the presidential election. I have no idea. But I don't think it's going to be pretty. Let's put it that way. And whoever wins, President Trump, Joe Biden, ain't going to be pretty. Neither side is going to like it. Both sides will go ballistic. Either side will go ballistic. It's going to get very, very messy. You have rabid people on both sides. Because people think that there is actually a difference amongst them. $26 trillion didn't happen just because of the Democrats. $26 trillion national deficit didn't just happen because of the Republicans. A $4 trillion deficit this year alone, and it'll probably be more, didn't just happen because of one of the parties. It happened because of both of them. And what did we get also out today? The budget deficit for the month of June was some $863 billion alone just for the month of June. $863 billion. Does anybody care? Does it matter? Nah, it doesn't matter. Apple's taken off. Microsoft, Google. You don't have to worry about a thing. Perfectly fine. That was more than TARP, and we talked about TARP again. To put that into perspective, to put yesterday's podcast and our conversation yesterday into perspective, because we were talking about corporate debt. And just over the past few months, commercial and industrial loans shot up $600 billion. Just in a few months. It took this country to see the total of commercial and industrial loans outstanding to hit $600 billion. It took us all the way till 1989. That was the first time we saw $600 billion in aggregate. Now, of course, our economy was smaller back then, but I think you understand the point that I am making. It took us that long to get to $600 billion commercial and industrial loans over the course of the past few months. That's how much we've added to it. And somehow that's supposed to be a panacea. I don't think so. It's delaying the inevitable. The inevitable is insolvency. It's bankruptcy. It's liquidation. I don't like saying it, but that's the case. Why? Because of distortionary effects brought to us by Democrats and Republicans through fiscal policy and by central bankers. Garbage in, garbage out. We have a significant amount of zombie corporations operating in this country and around the world. A significant number of zombie corporations. This means their interest expense on their debt is higher than their cash flows. There's no production here. They have a terrible balance sheet. They are supposed to go bye-bye, make way for the new entrepreneurs, for the ones that say, I can do it better. That's how this is supposed to work. That's the natural ebb and flow of things, but now we are completely stopping it. There can be no corrective action. We have to keep everything afloat. And the reason is, if they don't, everybody and their mother is going to know what a scam and what a con this economy and this system is. And those who are benefiting from this system and run this system do not want that to happen. That's why they are printing the money. That's why they are giving it to their well-connected buddies, the biggest and largest and the largest corporations in the world. They don't need it. They have the cash flow. They have the cash on their balance sheets. They don't need it. The Federal Reserve doesn't care. We don't care. Yeah, we knew it's an emergency facility. Yeah, we said we were going to do it, though. Even though we're saying that everything's getting back to normal, even though we're saying that markets are looking like they're functioning properly again, and so we don't need to use these emergency facilities, but we're going to, and you're not going to stop us. And nobody stops them. Nobody stops them, and nobody is going to stop them. That's the system we have. And they're simply paying us off with $1,200 stimulus checks, maybe an extra $600 a week if you're unemployed, to sit down and shut up. Don't protest these things. Don't riot these things. Don't write your congressman. Don't write the president. Don't question these things. Just take the money, sit down, and shut up. It's all they want. The next stop is insolvency. Some market performance I do want to highlight today, just gold and silver, because we saw a big run-up in the price of gold and silver and in those stock prices of those mining companies that we've been talking about here. Gold and silver, and maybe commodities in general, are going to be sniffing out the inflation that is coming. You cannot continue to print money at this rate. You cannot continue to beg, borrow, and spend money we do not have and not expect some type of negative consequence. Well, gold and silver, and in the broader commodity basket, is an area you might want to look if it's right for you. I don't give investment advice. I give information. I give data. I give my analysis and opinion. But when you're going to continue to print this money, spend it, say, oh, well, you know what? Before Congress goes on recess again, we're going to do at least another $1 trillion that we don't have, or at least another trillion. Well, people can say, well, they're just killing the U.S. dollar. Maybe we need some type of backup. Maybe we need something that's a little bit more real. You can't print gold and silver. You can't print a barrel of oil. You can't print more copper or wheat or corn or anything else. So people are going to start looking for real stuff again. It's just a matter of time. So do you want to get in early and perhaps make some money? Or do you want to get in when everybody else and their mother is getting in and it might be too late? Pay attention. Do what you have to do. But this is the land of financial Oz and everything else. So many people, unfortunately, are going to get hurt. So many people are going to get completely blindsided by what is coming down the pike. Because they just want to believe what this White House spews out there, or what some other politician that they agree with spews out there, that everything's going to be A-okay. Or because they listen to whatever news program they listen to, and they think everything's going to be okay. I mean, we just went down a list, very logically, very rationally, of what we are staring at. This isn't made up stuff. This is what we are staring at. These are the realities. So how are you just going to magically solve all of these problems? You're not. You're not. The market has to solve them. And the market would already be in the process of solving a lot of this stuff. But politicians can't have it on their watch. Central bankers can't have any type of major correction on their watch. No, 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 no. Got to keep this Ponzi system going. Got to keep this banana republic in tip-top shape. And that's what bothers me the most. So many people are going to get hurt by this. So please turn people onto the Capital News or other like-minded programs where people can get an education on these issues, because you're not going to get them on Fox News, CNN, or MSNBC, Bloomberg, CNBC. They don't call out these people. They don't go after the Federal Reserve and central bankers like I do. They don't go after the income tax like I do. They don't go after the structural issues like I do. They want you in your respective silos. They want you in those buckets so they can continue with these divide and conquer tactics. Meanwhile, they're running away with all the loot, trillions of dollars. That's the big picture, folks. Wake people up. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.